Hey guys, it's 8-Bit Nobody. Before we start today's episode, just take a second to talk about our sponsor, Sinister Jerky, and you can find that at www.sinisterjerky.com. They have all sorts of flavors from Carnage Asada, OG, the Pickle, which is made with dill flavoring, Cracked Pepper, Mango Habanero, and Sriracha Smoke. All these flavors are amazing. I've tried them all personally, and I cannot recommend them enough. Use code KINGDOM at checkout for a 10% discount. That code is KINGDOM, KINGDOM. All right, guys, we'll catch you after the episode.
Cast was sponsored by Manscaped. Make sure you always stay clean.
I actually did a Raid sponsorship commercial for him when he cut out for like
Raid Shadow. Oh, I remember that when my Shadow last Legends, thing. Yeah, dude, Raid Shadow Legends was not happy. No, I'm just joking. They didn't hit me up. It'd be hard to fucking rock fucking Manscaped because I haven't cut my hair in fucking months. It's all bushy and shit. And I you know what they say about carpeting the drapes. I don't want them to get any misinformation. They're like, oh, we're not fucking sponsoring that hairy fuck. And the recorder's been on. Welcome back to Castle Comms, episode 68. This episode is our actual first sponsored stream by Balls Guerrera. Grab life by the balls. I know, I wasn't expecting to get a real sponsor either. Anyway, today we have Steve-O and Fallen Neophyte. You might remember Steve-O was previously on the show. Fallen, this is his first experience on the comm. So how are you guys doing today?
He a little nervous.
I'm doing just dandy good, sir.
That's oh, there's so the common. Radio voice is back.
I have many different voices. You're going to be prepared for a lot of different ones throughout the entire
conversation. When I'm uncomfortable, I refer back to a Sunday radio host. At least it's not a monster truck host. Can you imagine that? Like, how are you doing? They'll say, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Like, oh, fuck, he's uncomfortable.
Imagine. All right. Well, it's a pleasure having the opportunity to be here. And Steve-O is a very good friend of mine. He recommended this, so I'm very excited to go ahead and bojangle with you, good sir.
Well, you guys seem to be pretty good friends because your friendship survived a cross-country road trip to TwitchCon.
Barely.
So I was actually going to ask quite a lot of questions on there because they say a relationship is tested at its height during something like a road trip. So, first question on the road trip, who had the worst farts?
Oh, I think it was pretty equal.
For me, what I think is that we had a system where basically I was the night owl because I have insomnia, so I could drive through the night really easily, and he would be able to drive during the day. So majority of the time, we were both asleep when the other one was driving.
We were supposed to have three people. There was some issues though, so we ended up having just two. So that's why we ended up just like one sleeping, one being awake. It worked out all right, but.
Talk
to each other. So we just got to be angry at the other person's sleeping habits, pretty much.
Right. So you just had to put up with snoring, but then you had the luxury of pretending the other guy was dead.
Oh my God. Oh no, he's definitely not dead when he's asleep, dude. He's loud as shit.
Now, does he have night terrors? Are you like screaming in your sleep or something?
No.
He sounds like a fucking semi downshifting on the fucking highway.
Jesus. I can't fit my sleep apnea machine in the Honda Civic. Guess I'll die.
Yeah, no. Steve-O got a really good Snapchat of it. I think it was a TikTok too. It was really good because at that point I was dealing with allergies and like I realized that I guess I turned 28 and then all of a sudden I'm now allergic to my cat. So I brought a pillow and blanket, but it's covered in my cat hair. So I'm just like dying. I'm not having a good time while I'm asleep.
He had a whole spool up and then a blow off valve when he fucking was sleeping. It was fucking hilarious.
Jesus. Yeah, see, once you get to like past 25, the check engine light starts coming on, and then every single weird like noise and ache and pain is like, oh, is this for fucking ever or is this just for right now? You just never know. You're like, well, fuck, I'm falling apart.
From what I've been told, it's every 7 years everything changes. So I'm waiting another 7 years and see what happens then.
Well, fair enough. Some people like me who are unhealthy, it's every 5 I gotta go in and get checked, but hey, fuck it. So speaking of unhealthy, what was the grossest thing you guys ate along the way? Was it just regular fast food? Did you go to any particular greasy spoon? Like, what was the worst food and what was the best food on the trip?
Worst food on
worst
the trip
food? Probably just all the gas station food.
Yeah, like you remember the the jerky that I got from that random gas station in the middle of nowhere?
I have a very strict rule because I do a lot of driving, and I told him, I was like, I'm not eating very much on this trip. Like, I don't like to because I don't want to have to stop and take a shit in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And he grabs like this. He goes into the gas station, grabs like a pack of jerky, and it's like the greasiest bag of jerky. It's a Ziploc bag of jerky, pretty much. Wait, because
did it even have a label on it, or did he just buy it from the gas station? Guy's like, I got a dehydrator.
Like homemade labels. Like I made this in my backyard like a week ago. I don't know if it was a local brand.
It was like a local brand, and I was just like, oh, let's support local business. So I grabbed these thick long boys, and I was like, oh, this will be fine. We'll eat them.
The other bad one is I don't eat Lunchables.
Okay.
I think they're horrendous. And this man bought a Lunchable and pretty much forced me to eat it because he didn't want to not eat it by himself. And I about he thought it was the funniest fucking thing.
What kind of Lunchable was it? Was it a Lunchables pizza?
It was the classic little sandwich boys.
I just make sure. Steve-O tied up in the passenger seat. You're just forcing a sandwich down his throat. He's crying.
I had to drive. I'm driving, trying not to die.
Because I gave him an adult Lunchable, and what I call the adult Lunchables are like the Hillshire Lunchables, where they have like real meat and real like crackers and like real cheese, right? I gave him that one to start with, and then I was like, all right, time for a good old nostalgic Lunchables with a little ham and cheese sandwich, force feeding him, giving him each one. I was like, you have to eat it, go.
Jesus. Doesn't an adult Lunchable come with alcohol? Is it like a little shooter, like a little airplane shot, or is it like a sprat, like a rack of coke or something? Like what the fuck comes like an adult Lunchable in the meat, cheese, and cracker?
We'll be on like actually having real cheddar and like real salami and real like bread, like a little cracker or whatnot. I think that location did sell liquor, but I'm pretty sure we didn't buy it. Chusky was the one who bought liquor at that moment in time.
Yeah, we were still driving for a while, so we weren't trying to have open bottles. We had one bottle that was supposed to be for a friend, and it was like a corked bottle of whiskey. We didn't think about pressure changes making the cork possibly explode, and we blew open like a $95 bottle of whiskey in the back of the car and dumped the entire thing in the back of the rental. It was fantastic. It smelled like a dying turkey.
There's nothing you want more than a cross-country trip than your car to smell like alcohol, like
we had you a bottle of whiskey and we opened the trunk, we're like, it spilled, and he like whiffed it and was like he lost his lunch. It was good.
Cool, because I was driving at the time and Steve was asleep, right? So I was driving, we were coming from I think it was from Denver, and we were actually we were coming from Las Vegas to go to Denver, and I was driving up the mountains, and then I heard like a random pop at one moment or a time, and I was like, huh, that's a weird noise. I guess it's nothing. I just kept driving. And then after a while, Steve-O just started waking up a little bit. Yeah. And then I was like, that smells like liquor. I was like, Steve-O, wake up. Is everything wet back there? He like rubs around, like, oh no. Literally just buffalo trace everywhere. I'm pretty sure that's what it was, or wild turkey, one of those two.
Well, at least the alcohol you bought was an actually regulated booze. If it was like your tube steak, if it was just some local shit that you bought, that fucking that alcohol percentage could have knocked you out, and you guys could have went blind mid drive and died.
I would have just lit a cigarette on the inside of the car and just caught fire.
I could see the fucking headlines now. Tarkov streamers killed in mob style car bomb execution. Like, what did they do to the IRA?
But in regards to the best food, I think in my opinion was the Spanish tapas bar.
I forgot about the actual San Diego. There was a bunch of good places.
That spot was delicious. I was like, I had enough money for like one like dinner where I can ball out, and I was like, just give me all the tapas. Give me every small plate of food. I want to eat the octopus. I want the steak. I want the chicken. I want everything that you got.
One night I'm eating like a king. Every other night it's Lunchables the whole way.
It was like, well, $380 or some crazy shit. Yeah. It was a lot, but it was so good.
I mean, you got to splurge at least one day.
Yeah, at least one, like one meal I want to really like send it, right? Because I know there's really good food. Beyond that, there's a lot of good food spots that are relatively financially feasible, right? But like, for example, Turtles, like Swims with Turtles, another content creator, shout out to him. He's an awesome human being. He actually went to a Michelin star sushi restaurant, but he kept it super down the DL. Like, he was like, oh, but don't tell anyone I went there. But it was really, really good. I was like, no way, really? That's awesome. But yeah, I guess I mean, just exposed him. Confirmed.
A turtle eating seafood.
Don't on a podcast.
Don't tell anybody. And then you go to the most social platform imaginable. But you know, your face isn't being shown right now, so you could just say I'm a fucking ventriloquist and just make some shit up. I mean, who's gonna really know?
Indubitably good, sir, obviously.
I'll out him 100%.
Oh, he's uncomfortable. It's a radio voice.
We had the trip down was a lot of fun. We were able to meet up. It took us, 4 or 5 days? Because being able to swap on and off, it didn't take too long. It was tiring. Nice. But we were able to meet up with a lot of our mods, a lot of our friends.
Nice.
And just kind of hang out for a day. We would usually, we'd end up getting there, go do something, and then I'd crash for a few hours. That way he could drive and... Yeah, that way I'd have a bunch of rest and I'd drive all day.
The sleeping.
Realistically, we could have gotten there really, really quickly if we wanted to. But we wanted to stop. We stopped in areas like Kansas to meet up with a whole bunch of mods, people that I've known for 2 years digitally. It was awesome to actually meet them. And then met up with another content creator, Whiskey's World in Denver. And then we just spend hours there. We would leave those areas at midnight. And then we went to Las Vegas afterwards to meet another mod. And then finally got to San Diego. So we kind of milked it a little bit, if you know what
you mean. Guys had the full realm of the adventure. You didn't just jump on a plane and land in fucking LA and be like, I'm here. You guys actually experienced the entire country. Damn near. You got to go. Yeah. You went there and you did that. You're like, how lame would Lord of the Rings have been if they just would have flown on the Eagle and dropped that shit in? No, you guys walked all the way to fucking Mordor.
I lost the voice on the trip because of the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Day three, I couldn't talk. I literally was just squeaking. We met up with one of our good buddies and his wife, and I couldn't speak by the time his wife got off work. I was just completely mute. So I was the next week on our way back, we met up with him again. And I was like, hey, I can talk now. How are you doing? I'm Steve.
Did you at least try to play charades? Oh, my friend Steve here is deaf. And you're like, whoa.
it was 2 days straight of me communicating with him and him just doing hand symbols and just moving his hands around. I would just get it. I was like, oh, okay.
I was so pissed. I walked into a gas station and it's 2 a.m. We just done a bunch of driving and I just wanted coffee and some cough drops. And I put them down on the counter and I can't fucking speak at this point. And I look at the lady at the counter and she's like, damn, you look like shit. And I couldn't say anything. I was so heated. And I get back out to the car and I'm sitting there for 20 minutes just stewing. And Fallon's like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not okay.
Steve-o, was this lady saying, it's always bad when somebody who's really down on their look and really unattractive and really going through it says that to you. Exactly. It's always those people that feel that they can say that. That always makes you feel so much worse. You have meth teeth and I look
I opened the visor and looked at myself in the mirror. I was like, damn, I mean, she right, but she didn't have to out me.
It's Fallen, you get out of the car because I'm wrapping this fucker around a tree right now.
I think the worst place that we went to, I hated Kansas City. It was a mess. We were trying to find
Kansas
gas.
City,
we
Kansas or Kansas City, Missouri?
Missouri. Kansas,
we gotta
City,
make sure
Missouri.
We know who exactly who we're alienating. So Kansas City, Missouri, eat a dick.
Yeah, we straight up, I hated that place. The road
kept trying to pull into gas stations that we were 100% gonna get mugged at, and I was like, bro, keep fucking driving. It was rough.
So now that we even
pull into the gas station, you couldn't get out because there's 9 signs that give very contradicting information on how you're supposed to get out of the gas station.
It's just in Texas. Yeah. There's loops everywhere. There's certain states that are just a fucking weird mess drive through.
I would have loved a loop. No, this was just a mess. It just roads were just
V's.
Yeah. Oh, we ended up in suburbia at one point. Dude, it made no sense to me. I was just like, where are we? I just want to leave this place. Leave me alone. It was rough, dude.
So you're telling me the land of Tech 9 is bullshit when it comes to driving.
Oh, 100% trash. I hated it. I hated everything about it.
Love it. Love it. So, Steve-O, I have to ask, did you really lose your voice because you're talking too much, or did you lose your voice because your larynx got scratched because Fallen here was force-feeding you hard-ass crackers and a Lunchable? This is a safe place.
I got the voice back before that, luckily, but...
I mean, I was asleep for quite a bit of time.
Exactly. I just had to shake my head vigorously. It didn't work.
No. So you tried to Helen Keller the whole way.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it was It was really cool though. I think you got your voice back, and then we met up with Chusky in Las Vegas. Yeah, that's when you got your voice back. You're correct.
Right about Las Vegas is when I got it back.
So where in Vegas did you guys stay, or did you not stay in Vegas? Did you just pass on?
We stayed at a mod's house. Kirsten the Squirrel, shout out to her. We met up with her. We were able to, she kind of like took us around because I've never been there before. So she took us down the strip. She took us to the Hard Rock Cafe where their brother worked. And then we were able to get like a nice meal that was covered. We didn't have to pay anything. And then after that, we went to Fremont Street, which is like a walking, like kind of like, I don't know how to describe it, Steve. How would you describe Fremont Street?
It's just like old Vegas. I mean, if you've ever been to Vegas, you know what Fremont Street is.
Old Vegas is surprisingly very seedy and gross and awesome at the same time. It's degenerate paradise, old Vegas.
It's like the secondary street to like the strip, I would say. I mean, it's got a lot of casinos and stuff on it. A lot of like, you know, open bars, obviously. Our buddy Chusky's actually from Canada. And his jaw dropped when he realized he could walk around and drink. And then when we walked into... We walked into a casino, and he's like, "It smells like cigarettes in here." And I was like, "Yeah, you can smoke like in any casino in Vegas." And he's like, "You're joking." And I was like, "No, no, you're good." And like, he had to like look around to make sure someone else was smoking because he thought I was giving him shit. And I was like, "Dude, look at all the slot machines. They all got like ashtrays next to them." And
he's like, "I thought this place was on fire. All this smoke."
He's like, "America's so cool, dude." He smoked like a whole pack of cigarettes in 10 minutes. I swear to God.
He's over here renouncing maple syrup and his citizenship. He's like, "I fucked so him, happy, bits. Dude."
Now they're all like
chain smoking.
What were they called? Those natural spirits or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
American spirits.
American spirits.
Bro. Smith's got some Native American with a peace pipe. He's like, "I love these racist cigarettes. They're delicious."
They're delicious. They take 9 years to smoke, but they're okay.
"For some reason, I want to go watch the Cleveland Indians play." They're like, "No, they're the Guardians. Stop saying that." Times have changed, my Canadian friend. So, in Vegas.
I would say, like, it was fun, though.
Did you guys?
We didn't do any gambling.
Oh no, I would imagine you. It's either one of those things where you either went all in gambling, you did none at all. I was gonna ask
we
about
spent
the food.
$20 a piece.
Did you guys?
Yeah, that was so like we didn't get a stay. We went to the Hard Rock, and then we went to. Have you heard of? It's called Area 18. It's like an adult amusement park in a big ass warehouse, I would say.
Right.
And we went to a place called Omega Mart in there, which is like a trippy. Like wild ride. Like if you go there and you're on, you know, just like, we'll just say alcohol or whatever you want to be on. It's a trip. They got all sorts of like crazy lights and projectors and like, it's wild.
Yeah. It's like a bunch of visualizers and like art installations and whatnot. It was just like, you had rooms that would like mess with your audio sensory situation. There would be rooms that would do like visual deprivation. There was certain rooms that were just like flashing lights the entire time. It was crazy. It was a misty little experience.
You guys didn't get in any like crazy trouble or anything like that, because Area 18 sounds like some like cool kids, like high school only and above arcade.
We almost got in trouble because we didn't realize. So Area 18 is its own company, Area and 15. They rent. Is it 50? I thought it was 15. 18.
It's 15.
Oh, no, yeah, 15. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Backwards of 51. Yeah, they rent out like portions of that building to other companies, and we didn't know that. So like, we got a hold of the people that run Omega Mart, and they give us the okay to like record in it for our videos.
Nice.
But we didn't realize that they failed to tell us that we had to get approval from like Area 15 as well. So we got stuck at the front door for a little while, but the manager came down and kind of explained it. He was real chill.
We ended up meeting the head of security. We met a whole bunch of people. I just started, I went to like content creation flirting mode and just became friends with everybody and was talking about cameras and stuff.
It was fun. They ended up letting us in, and they were like, "You're not trying to record out here, right?" And we're like, "No, we'll shut the cameras off as soon as we're out of Omega Mart." And they're like, "Fine, you're good." So like, we walked in there. They have if you ever go there, we didn't get to try it because there was too many people online. They have a full like bodysuit and frictionless VR set. So like, it's a full body experience.
Oh, that's the furry dream right there.
it looked cool. Like, it's like you've seen them before, like where you have like their waist belt so you can like crouch up and down and shit.
Those things are
absolutely
nuts. I would love to play Counter-Strike like that. Like, these bullets hurt like a
PvP mode. And I was like, dude, me falling Chusky. I was like, we got a fucking PvP and see who's the better COD player. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, but lo and behold, you're in Vegas. So like, everything's at least $50 to $100 just to do it.
I think it was like $150 a person.
Yeah,
those things could be dangerous, though. Imagine, like, you can feel things. Be like, dude, what happened to that one streamer who broke her back? Tequila hit her with a hammer.
She fell in the Twitch foam pit. What?
What? I mean, yeah. Hearing that Tequila hit somebody with a hammer is just as believable as somebody breaking their back in a foam pit.
No, that did you hear about that?
Yeah, and it got worse.
I was about 7 feet from that.
Because apparently she was pregnant when it happened, too. So it's like a whole fucking thing. And then she had to have like a real fat, long surgery. And she's got like a rod in her back. And she's like relearning how to walk. The whole thing is just a fucking mess.
Yeah.
And they didn't shut it down after she hurt herself. So like there was like a half a dozen people that got hurt on that
thing. What do you mean Twitch wouldn't course correct when something doesn't work? What do you mean?
Like there was someone broke their leg because they tried to yeet over a couch and then just folded. She broke her back. Because she thought the foam pit, obviously, like when you see a foam pit, right, you expect it to be deep. Like a little deep, right? No, there was literally a cement floor thing. And it just had one cube layer above it.
It's like I wasn't expecting this fucking pit to be as deep as an Avril Lavigne song. I was expecting something much deeper. What the fuck?
It was rough.
That's funny.
I went up to it the first day before people got hurt, and like we were standing on the side of the pit, and I like reached down into it to see like how deep it was, and I was like, Chusky, this shit's not very deep. I was like, I don't want to play on this because like they make you fight on pedestals that are like 5 feet above the foam pit. I was like, this looks like it's gonna hurt when you fall.
Imagine how much worse the drive back would have been if you guys dueled in the foam pit and one of you guys would have got hurt. Like, this is that drive back
butthole, that would have sucked.
It's like, I told you this shit was too short, but no, you had to fight. Now my anus is broken. I need you to carry me into the bathroom.
It was a wild ride. We had a lot of good experiences, met a lot of good people. The actual the Twitch con was fun. We met we were able to get a lot of contact info for like, you know, different, you know, maybe right? sponsors in the future.
See,
and
that's the
early
coolest
access
thing
games and stuff like that.
About that situation is just the networking potential. Like you were talking about meeting sponsors, and I'm not going to make you name any of them because I don't want to spoil the things to come, but you also got to network with streamers that you might interact
with
virtually.
That was the huge thing. That was after TwitchCon. That's where it came down. Like at TwitchCon, it was all about the companies, but like it was the after parties and meeting up with people at bars and meeting all these people. That's where all the networking came
This was
in.
Your Catalina wine mixer.
Yeah,
I
basically
slept like 6 hours the whole weekend.
Like TwitchCon itself, like you would go there, you would walk around, you meet companies and all that jazz. But like it seemed like a lot of content creators didn't really want to like talk to each other much. They stayed in their own little like tight knit groups.
Wait, you're telling me gamers are antisocial? What?
Dude, it's wild.
Until
right?
you get some alcohol on them.
Yeah, until we get alcohol in our system, then once you're like at the bars afterwards, like people are a lot more social, right? So Steve-O and I kind of set it upon ourselves, like, you know what? Why don't we organize like a bar crawl, get everyone together, like actually do something, because everyone obviously wants to meet after the event, but no one ever takes the initiative to set something up, like an actual objective or something to do, right?
Like everybody met up at the stair meetup for the picture.
When we were talking to people the whole time, I made a mistake of telling too many people about this bar crawl. And like we had like 10 bars I think on this list, and the first bar we went to there's like 10 people that showed, and we're like, oh sweet, this would be nice
group
to walk around.
That's actually a perfect group because you can talk to everybody.
It got worse. We go to the second bar and there's another group of like 10-15 people, so we're at like 25-30 now. We go to the next bar and there's like 40 people. So like our group got to like a point where we had to split it into like two groups of like 50 people, and then we couldn't get into half of the bars because there wasn't enough room. We ended up finding a bar, like I think it's like the biggest bar on Fifth. It's like, what was that? I can't remember the name of it was.
I forget, Union.
So like they literally were like, you can have the bar. So like they there was like 90 to 100 just Tarkov content creators in this bar just hanging out. Like we were sitting hanging out with Clean and Ash and all sorts of people. We were just sitting having a good time, like chatting. It was like it ended with a good 2 hours at that bar. It was a hell of a good time. It was
so funny.
A lot more popular than we thought it was going to be.
It's like, dude, we can't accommodate you. You guys need to go by 40s and hang out under the bridge over there. That's the only place.
We tried to go to like I think it was like four different bars. We tried to go to them and they're like, we literally can't fit you guys. I was like, all right. So we walked around. We were like, let's go check out the other place that we went to that one night, because there wasn't many people there before. And we roll up to the bar and it's only like, there's like 10 people in there. I'm like, all right, well, hey, I have everybody. Can we come in? They'll be like, yes, here you go.
Over every single table. The GM at the end of the day came up to me and he was like, like, yo, you guys were the chillest group of people. Like, there were not any fights. There was not any issues. He was like, if you guys end up coming down, like, if there's another TwitchCon, he, like, gave me his number. He's like, let me know, and you guys want to walk around. You can have the bar for the night.
I just pictured a Joe Pesci kind of guy coming. I was like, you nerds put my kid through college in a big kid.
Dude, we spent an ignorant amount of money there.
Yeah. The first time we went there, actually, the GM there was kind of like against letting in Chusky, because Chusky didn't have like a American ID, right? He didn't have his passport. He just had his Canadian ID. Right. Didn't want to let him in. And when I went up to him, I was like, hey, like, so what's the situation? He's like, he can't come in here. And I was like, okay, is there any way we can fix that? And he's like, nope, I'm not letting him in. I was like, all right, bet. So I walk over to the Tarkov group that was there the night before, and it's the majority of his bar. And I walk up to them saying, hey, they won't let Chusky in. And then immediately this guy looks, he sees where I'm at and who, like, the group I'm talking to. He's like, all right, so what's your name again?
Sir? We're leaving. We're like, we're going to go to the next bar. Chusky can't come. And like, everyone started to get ready to go. And he's like,
guys, all about face, started singing, oh, Canada. And he's like, no.
He gave him a drink and everything, dude.
He bought him a drink the whole nine because he didn't want to lose like 90% of his bar. So that was funny. And then the next night he was like, oh yes, please come in.
I gave you a shot of Crown Royal and a Labatt Blue. Are we cool? Absolutely. Oh man, that's fucking hilarious. See, the funny thing about that is you guys realize that Tarkov players are a lot like their PMCs. They won't organically come to things, but if there's an event, they're all there, like the Halloween event.
Things to have.
You guys had the bar event.
What I did notice was that, like, if you looked at the other, like, I guess, content creation industries, right? You look at the Call of Duty group people, you see, like, all these different groups of, like, genres of games, right? None of them, they all had, like, their cliques, and then they wouldn't talk to each other. Well, the beauty of the Escape from Tarkov is that we all equally get our nuts kicked in every single time we play the game, so we all are, like, sadistic to ourselves. And we were all a lot more social and accepting of each other. Like, no one really had a pompous like attitude. No one thought they were better than each other. Everyone just kind of hung out and chilled. Whereas, like, if you looked at, like, the Call of Duty groups, like, a lot of them were like clicky. They wouldn't talk to other people. It's a lot more competitive. Whereas with Escape from Tarkov, all of us are just mutually just trying to, like, survive in this game.
Like,
so
no one
really thinks that they're better
than
each other.
This is a 6 KD and above click. You're not welcome here.
It was more the size of their following, because I definitely had, like, groups of people that just wouldn't, like, they would talk to people that I was with because they were, you know, larger content creators, and just completely ignore the people that didn't have, like, a large following. Whereas, like, the Tarkov people, like, were sitting there at tables with Clean. I was sitting there talking with Endra. Like, they were just normal people, which it was real cool to be able to just, like, hang out with them and chat.
Yeah,
not a gatekeeper in sight.
Yeah, like, it was like, I was, dude, the first night I was just hanging out with, we got there, we went to, like, the first bar, I was hanging out with Mr. Gibbon and Pep, and, like, just chilling, and, like, they had no, like, ego, which is so, like, it's a beautiful thing, to see within our community, right? Versus, like, if I went into any other, like, I feel like in Call of Duty industry, you have, like, one big Call of Duty gamer, like, he wouldn't be hanging out with everybody. Like, for example, like, you have the really, really big guys, right? You have, obviously, Tim the Tapman, all those guys, they have their own group, and they stick with their group only, and they probably wouldn't go meet up with all the smaller guys in that industry, right? Versus, like, we had the really big people and they're all hanging out with everybody, which is really, really cool.
When you said that, I just pictured, like, you know, Nick Merckx in the Tabman and Dr. Disrespect on, like, a widow's walk kind of thing, looking at everyone like, look at these ants. They're all Oh man, so
it was a lot of fun though. It was a good time. We were able to meet a lot of cool people. It was real nice because, like, a lot of these people were able to set games up with afterwards. Be like, hey, you know, hit me up, we'll set up some games. So, like, we were able to stream with a lot of these people. It was really cool.
Did it take did you guys use your in-game names, or did you guys use your regular names? Like, I know for Steve-O it's pretty easy because you're Steve-O, but
so we all wore our Twitch badges that have our usernames on it. So yeah, like, most everyone would just be like, hey, Fallen, you know, they'd be like, obviously, hey, Steve or Steve-O. But for the most part, like, you would just use their in-game name, I would think, unless you knew them. Like, a couple of people I know from just playing. So, like, I know their real names and I'd use their real names if that's how I talk to them.
Right.
But I mean, it's just kind of like if you're playing a game, like, you just call them by what you know them as.
Nice. Yeah, and also the other beautiful thing about TwitchCon was being able to meet viewers. That was awesome to me. It was so cool to be able to meet, like, because I've had a viewer who's been around for like 2 years. For the 2 years that I've been streaming, he's been around, and I got the opportunity to meet him and his son and like be able to like chat with them and like put a face to the name, right? And that was really, really cool. And then also someone who really, really was like one of the nicest people ever, that friendly guy, genuinely a friendly guy, dude. Like super nice dude. We went out to his like a bar, like he had a bonfire meetup for his community, and we just went out and hung out with him, and we were just chilling at the bonfire. They made steaks, like they cooked steaks on logs of wood in a fire pit. It was great. It was a really good time.
Oh, friendly guy is so cool. Like, imagine if he wasn't friendly in real life. He was just like, you know, it was all an act. When he goes to events, he's just has to like take a second, he's like, be friendly, be friendly, be friendly, just so he doesn't like break character.
No, it was a really fun experience, and the drive there, in my opinion, was a lot more fun. I think it's because of like the excitement, right? So like, by the way, Steve-O can sleep through literally anything. I have the windows down. I have dubstep music cranked at max volume. I'm drinking two monsters and I'm zooming. I'm just dancing in the front, like a front, like a front seat, driving through Kansas and shit. Steve-O's done, out,
I'm out, sleeping, dead to the snoring, world.
Like throwing a little fart here and there, and just like laying and just melting away as like the music's just bumping the entire time. I'm like, there's no way this guy doesn't wake up, dude. It's crazy to me.
He's unable to talk. He's just curled in the fetal position. It's like, we'll get there. So, who has the better taste in music, would you guys say? Or were you guys so zonked out you didn't really get to hear the other person's music taste? And
it's almost the same. Like, we have, we listen to a lot of the same music.
Yeah, so we have similar tastes in music. So, like, obviously, there's some artists that, like, Steve-O enjoys. Like, he likes trap music. I'm not really a huge fan of that. But, like, it's still in the same genre of music that I do enjoy. So, that was really no big deal to me, right? And then, like, I obviously like deep dub and, like, more, like, UK grime, like, stuff on top of dubstep. But, like, there's still a middle ground, so we both appreciate each other's music. So, we didn't really have to run into many issues there at all.
Well, it was cool because, like, he would hear songs on my playlist that he hadn't heard before. And he was like, oh, this is cool. And same, like, the other way around, I'd hear songs on his, I'd be like, oh shit, I'm gonna add this to mine.
So would you guys say your friendship actually got stronger because of this trip, or would you say it's pretty much like, irreparably been damaged?
we're joking when we say like we're about to kill each other, but we literally, the last day was like he said, the trip there was fun. We were excited, we were fresh because we got a bunch of sleep. I, like I said, slept about 6 hours the whole 3 days we were there, so the trip back was just fucking rough. And
it was
like we were just tired, we were done, like we just wanted to be home. So like every day we just felt like forever driving, and like
the best decision for us was that when we drove to Vegas, we'd like hung out there, got some food, and then like driving to Denver, we made the decision to just stay in Denver for the night and sleep there at our buddy's place. And like that was a nice like refresher, like, all right, we can handle the next few days. Like we need, like without that, I think the trip would have been brutal because we were both exhausted the entire
time. We would have had to stop somewhere and just pass out.
Well, you guys seem like you got pretty lucky. You didn't get, did you guys get pulled over?
No, not at all. Not within the last 45 miles of the drive. No,
no, definitely not.
Nah, definitely not. Definitely not by fucking Ohio cops. No.
Well, if the worst thing that happened is you got talked to by security, like it could have been so much worse. You could have been like, yeah, and then we killed a hooker with the Blue Man Group and things went downhill.
The shitty thing is like we had this fucking alcohol bottle had blown open the day before.
Right.
Fucking it was rough. So we're like, how do we explain this if they like ask why it smells like alcohol?
It was us goddamn Blue Man Group. They did this.
But yeah, beyond that, like don't get it twisted. Like after, so we got to Steve-O's house, and Steve-O lives quote unquote 5 hours from my place. But
if you drive like a normal person.
No. Sir, you were not on the drive. Driving from Steve-O's house to my house was probably the most brutal and frustrating situation I've ever had to deal with. Because that 5 hour drive became 7.5 hours. Bro, I was angry. I was so angry. There was so much traffic and like tunnels and shenanigans,
he's messaging me the whole time. He's like, I'm still not fucking home.
I was so tilted the entire time, dude. It was rough. But eventually I got home. But like, it was started pouring raining, too. It wasn't even a sunny drive home. It was pouring rain the entire way home. Yeah, I was like, this is horrendous.
So but you just dropped off safely, your travel companion. Part. You're all alone. And then it starts to rain. Was there a sad fallen moment on the way back? Did you start to cry a little bit? Did you look to the seat next to you and see that
laying in the background?
I was just heated because my dumbass, when I was pulling out of his driveway, I ended up scraping my car. All right. Actually, hold up. Yo, peep this shit. For some fucking reason, this guy just has a wheelbarrow sitting in the middle of his like driveway on a pile of rocks. What? I'm like, oh, is that like for aesthetics? It's not even functioning. It's flipped over. It's just there. And I was like, oh, okay. So they move the wheelbarrow, but lo and behold, there's still a giant pile of rocks. My dumbass pulls out, and I'm like, oh, I can drive over this and then drive past it. No, that thing is huge, and it just rails my side.
Did you have like a Jeep? What kind of car did you try to jump the top?
I have a little Honda Civic.
The man's got a Civic, and he decided instead of the wheelbarrow's dumped because we had added extra rocks to dump in our driveway because like sometimes the water washes some away, so it's like to fill in potholes.
Right.
This guy instead of backing up, doing a 2-point turn, and then just driving down the driveway, backed up and then wide swung the driveway and ran over the trench where the water has been washing away the driveway.
Oh.
And that's where he scraped the side of his car. Like, and he claims he didn't, but I walked out onto the porch and I could see the tire tracks in the grass, and I was falling.
The grass was fine.
It was the pile of rocks.
It was the pile of rocks. I'm telling you, yo, ask your neighbor. I don't know who it was. Some guy was in a pickup truck, and I heard the scraping. And I turned back, and he just quick 180 turned and looked at me. I'm like, oh, I fucking hate this. So like right off the rip, my start of my drive was not a good time, and they just got progressively worse as it went on.
It was great. So next time I go down to Fallins, I gotta fix his car.
Fair enough. I mean, he did hit your pet rock collection, so I think you guys are
exactly equal.
So when it came to meeting the Tarkov people, did you meet anybody who you never really experienced in a virtual scene? Like, you'd be like, oh, I've never even checked this person out. Did you like meet any brand new creators from it?
A lot of them.
Yeah.
We met a whole new side of the D-Gen group, like Undead, all those guys. Like, we knew of them.
Navaray, King Will. Yeah, we knew of them. We never played with them. We ended up hanging out with them the most. Like, yeah, we went to a haunted house with them in San Diego. Like, we hung out with Miss Trash and stuff like that. Like that was a lot of fun. House?
Or like one of those
like the Halloween ones, was a walkthrough one, right? It wasn't anything crazy, but it was fun.
It was fun because it was in a park, so it was like a mile of walking through different sets. It was cool.
Nice. Yes. But beyond that, it was a fun time meeting a lot of unique content creators. It was interesting to see how many people actually like knew who I was too. Also, one of the baffling things is how tall on average Tarkov creators are. There are so many tall motherfuckers, dude.
It
was outrageous, dude. Everyone was giant. And like my friends, like my viewers are like, damn, you're short. I'm like, nah, dude, everyone's just really tall. Like, cause I'm like an average, like I'm technically 5'9¾". My ex is 5'10". But everyone else is like 6'4", 6'5", 6'2". I'm like, geez, everyone's so tall. It's nuts.
Like, I'm 6'4", and I was sitting there talking to One Peg, and One Peg is like 2 to 3 inches on me. So, like, he's tall as hell. It was
a tall
crew. I fit right in. Like, I was fine.
As a short motherfucker, I'm kind of happy I didn't go because I would have been looking up the whole night.
The D-Gen era, like our crew, like Navaray, Undead Essence, Danny, King Will, and Colton, that little group, they are. I'm convinced when you are a D-Gen hour streamer, you are short because all of them were tiny. Like, they were all short as fuck, dude. They're like average height 5'5". I'm like, they're really small.
I'm sitting here towering over everybody. I'm just a fucking... an enigma of nighttime streamers.
Yes, we are the tall Chads, and over there are the goblin degens. The rats.
But the thing is they're all
cracked. Loot.
But they're all cracked out of their mind when they play. Like, I've been playing with a lot of them, and like they're nutty. Like, Undead Essence is cracked in the game. King Will and I, we pushed him yesterday, and we were mopping lobbies on customs, and then Navaray's just a funny time, dude. She's great. So a lot of them are really, really cool to play with, and it was like a really cool experience to meet these people and establish connections with a lot of them. So I think, like, if I was to ever say anything, like, I definitely would recommend, if you are a Tarkov creator, if you're Call of Duty or whatever it may be, I don't know if it would be as beneficial to you, but if you are a Tarkov creator, actually go on the TwitchCon at least once just to meet people, get your name out there, and like network. It's very much so, I would highly recommend recommend. It's beneficial to your brand.
Now, do you guys connect with anyone outside of the Tarkov scene?
Yeah, I mean, like, so, like, Pep isn't really a Tarkov creator. I had to, like, explain. So, we all know who Gibbon is. Gibbon's, like, the TikTok Tarkov guy. He was hanging out with Pep for the weekend, so I had to, like, sit and explain who Pep was to Fallen. But he was like, oh, okay, now I know who he is. There was a couple other people. I mean, it was mainly Tarkov, but when we were at TwitchCon, we got to meet a bunch of people that weren't, Tarkov creators.
Right. Was there anyone who you met who you were like, wow, I did not expect their personality to be like that from, because people act sometimes a different way on stream than they do in real life. Were you kind of taken aback by anyone's like real personality? Like, wow, this guy, I would never imagine they were like this. This is so cool. Or were you mostly not surprised by your interactions?
I think for me, at least, everyone made sense. Only one that I was like, not like surprised, but like Clean was very introverted. So like when him and I were chatting at the bar, like it was very much so like a calm, quiet like conversation. Like while everyone's yelling and like chatting and like all this like being drunk, he's very much so introverted and like calm and like collected and just kind of like analyzing the room. So he's not like a huge social butterfly, if that makes sense. Beyond that, everyone else seemed pretty much on brand with who they were. It was pretty fun. It was a nifty dude, bro. Chusky can put down rum like it's his job, though. That man is he's wild, and I love him to death. He's an awesome human being, man.
That actually brings me to my next question. If there's a Tarkov drinking contest, who wins? Who drinks everyone else under the table? If you had to put your money on a Tarkov drinking event, who wins?
A drinking event?
Yes.
I would say, like, from the people that I witnessed who were drinking consistently, the one that surprised me was Goodnight. He hasn't streamed consistently all the time, but he's like a very much so he's like known in the tournament scene. He always had a glass of whiskey on him at all times, but like Chusky was just like caught consistently pounding drinks, like consistently had a drink in his hand. An animal, bro. He just keeps going, and it's like it's wild to me. And it's like I feel like he could do it. Like, and if you sat down, like even people like, for example, like Fudge XL, who's a big guy, he's 6'7", he's huge, but like he wouldn't, I don't think he'd be able to drink as much as Chusky. Like, I think Chusky would be able to handle himself way better than a lot of other content creators.
Nice. So it's crazy when you're surprised by, people you meet in a virtual realm, and then when you meet them in a real thing, it's like, wow, I wasn't expecting you to be this tall. I wasn't expecting you to be this boisterous. I didn't know you could drink like a fucking fish. All that, that kind of stuff.
Was cool. It was like our Airbnb. We had a bunch of people that we've been, playing games with for a while that we were actually able to meet and hang with and chill out, at a house, instead of just like at a bar. We had like Goodnight Chew. All those guys were worth it.
A handful of them I had met beforehand. So before TwitchCon earlier this year, around, I think it was like April, I coordinated a New York City meetup. So it was a bunch of content creators within the Tarkov industry. It was like Fudge XL, Ash IV, a lot of East Coast people like Fuzzy Bear, Goodnight was there. A handful of us had met before, so it was a pleasure seeing them again. And that's how we set up our Airbnb, right? Because I had hung out with Fudge before, I have hung out with Steva before, I have hung out with Goodnight, so I wanted to like stay with people that I knew. Right. Chusky was a wild card out of nowhere. He called me, like we were just driving to Vegas. He gave me a call. He's like, "Yo, where are you right now?" And I'm like, "Driving to Vegas," and he was like, "All right, I'm coming." And I was like, "All right, perfect, let's get it."
Awesome. And he flew into Vegas.
Yeah, he just flew into Vegas. We picked him up and we just went about our evening, and he stuck with us the entire time, which is a lot of fun. And it was really nice to actually meet Chusky because he's one of my oldest friends when it comes to streaming. Back when I first had my very first Fireteam Trials tournament that I hosted, he actually won it. And I've ever since then, I've known him, been friends with him, like talk consistently. We have a lot of similar interests. So it was really cool to actually get to meet him, and like it just hit it off right off the rip, right?
Right.
And he's a very smart when it comes to like content creation and streaming. He's been doing it for a really long time. So like, it was nice being, in my first year of doing it, he gave me quite a few pointers. We hung out at TwitchCon. He was helping me, introduce like my name to other content creators and stuff like that. Real cool dude.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And it's cool to see that, like he achieved partner, and like it didn't get to his head, right? Because you do see that some people, like when they hit partner, it gets to their head, and they think they're above playing with the affiliates because now the door opens for them, right, to play with all the partners and whatnot,
right?
But certain people let it get to their head and they're like, get too big for their boots. And other people, like for example Wachuski are like just still humble. Like, these guys are my friends. They were there before I was partner. I'm still going to keep them around, right? Stuff like
it's
that.
It's like one of those things you see in like the workplace environment. If someone gets in like promoted from like, you know, base level to like mid management, they feel like they have to hang out with mid management. You see that in the military a lot with people who become NCOs and want to hang out with other NCOs. And in the streaming community, especially when you're grinding so long and then when you finally reach that echelon and those doors open, it's hard not to take advantage of that. But at the same time, you can't forget where you came from, who your friends were, and who helped you along the way.
Yeah.
Because that's just, that's just a bad look.
Those are the people that got you there.
Right. But it's one of those things where if you don't think about that, if you don't take a second to step back and, like, you know, self-reflect, it's really easy to just, like, you know, just continue on that path without even noticing. So, you know, it's one of those mental things that just happens. So after the road trip, when you guys got there and got back, what sleep in a bed was better? The first night in the Airbnb or the first night back home in your own bed?
Back home in my own bed for me.
Yeah, 100%.
So like as fun as it was and as exciting as it was to be there, I just wanted my own comfort of my own home after like being like extroverted for so long, like it's 2 weeks straight of just being full extrovert mode. I needed to go back to my hermit crab mode.
I'm like very extroverted as a person, but like obviously with work and kids, you don't obviously get out very much. There was a point like there for like the day after where I was just like, I like texted Fawn. I was like, dude, I'm like a little depressed. I was like, I'm not used to like sitting at home again now. Like, oh, let's go play some video games. I'm like, we're supposed to go out and talk to people and hang out at bars and meet new people. I had to like calm it back down. I was like, what the hell's going on?
It's like, I'm on a serotonin rush. Give it to me.
Yeah, literally. Like everyone I talked to, they were like, nah, dude, we were glad to get home. Like, go back to being an introvert. And I was like, I'm the other way around, I guess. Jesus.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was really an awesome time. It's just being home for me. It's because I'm extroverted as well. And it was nice because, I mean, as I've gotten older, a lot of, obviously, you guys probably experienced it too. A lot of your friends start having families. A lot of your friends start like focusing on their own careers and whatnot. Yeah. So you don't get to get out as much, right?
Absolutely.
As much as I would love to go to my local punk and goth bar and like socialize with people, I don't really have many people to go out with anymore.
Did you say punk and goth or pumpkin goth? Because I don't know what the fuck goth is.
So basically it's a, so I like, as I was growing up, obviously I live in New Jersey, right? So we have the Jersey Shore and all that kind of stuff. Like you have those like frat bro bars and all that kind of shit. But as I got older, I kind of like, I never really vibed with that. I just went to them because all my friends went to them. But I was more so like growing up, I was that scene kid or the skater kid. I would listen to screamo and like heavy and hardcore music.
So went to the hardcore music, like bars and such.
Yeah, exactly. So now I'm able to go, like I go to this one place, it's a punk goth bar, it's two floors. Top floor is like all goth themed. There's like melted candles on the TVs. You don't have sports, you have horror movies playing, and like you have a 80s music playing on the top floor. The bottom floor has one like goth industrial house music room, and then there's like a goth rock room. And like that place is cool because like for me, I like if I could have done anthropology, I would have, because I really really love subcultures of people. So like I just like blend in, I assimilate, and then I kind of like observe, and I like learning about different subcultures, how, what's cool, what's the slang, what do they like to talk about, what are their interests are. And like that's my favorite part about like traveling, I guess, and being able to see those type of different kinds of subcultures.
That's because when I thought you said pumpkin bar, I was like, was it a bunch of Darios drinking pumpkin spice lattes? What the fuck is this? So fun. Yeah, when you get drunk, does the Jersey Shore come out? Do you start fist pumping? Do you start his accent?
No. I personally don't think so. Steve-O, as someone who observed me drunk, would you say I become more Jersey? Or like,
no, I definitely wouldn't have hung out with you if you did.
Yeah, like
I would have left you at a bar and been like, hey guys, we're leaving.
Because like that's just not really like my vibe or my aesthetic. I mean, if you look at my stream,
you really
like,
tell that he's from Jersey.
So that's the bridge too far for you, Steve-O.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I'm leaving him. Fuck him.
Yeah, because like my aesthetic is not that. My aesthetic is like spooky, like Halloween all year round is my aesthetic. So like I'm not really gonna be fist pumping and be like gym tan laundry. That's not me, you know.
He's like the edgy emo kid.
The edgy
emo. Hey, Mom, it wasn't a phase, I promise.
Wasn't a phase, Mom. I never outgrew. I just stopped painting my nails.
Mom, I'm gonna go join the Black Parade. Gosh,
God,
don't understand me.
Right? I'm gonna go spill apple juice in the hall. I'll be right back. So with Twitch, we talked a lot about outside of TwitchCon events, like the stuff you guys organize, the stair meetup that you went to. So when it comes to actual in TwitchCon things, what was the con actually like walking through the doors and going through all that stuff, other than the foam pit, obviously?
There was, I mean, so like, honestly, I think them trying to get back into it after like COVID and not being able to do it for a few years, it was like really lax. It felt like just laid back. They obviously had a lot of different companies there every day. But if you weren't like actively trying to go and network and like talk to these companies, I don't think it had too much for the average like small creator there. Like obviously the big creators that are there and for the people that want to meet them, I think that's more what TwitchCon was for, was for viewers to meet the streamers that they watch.
Yeah, I think it's, the event is more tailored towards content creators, like the types of like merch, they don't like quote unquote merch booths and like displays and like all that kind of stuff. Like it was nice, but it's more so tailored towards content creators. Like if you were just a viewer and you went to that event, there wasn't really much for you to do. So that's, I feel like that's where they're lacking, at least in that aspect. I've been to a lot of conventions over here in New York and whatnot, and in regards to like production value and whatnot, they were all right. They were in size, it was pretty okay. But like I go to like anime conventions over here that are like enormous, like they're huge in comparison.
And that's what like I go to PAX usually every year too. So like PAX is very tailored towards, you know, the average person that walks in. Like there's a lot of stuff for them to do,
right?
But like here, your average viewer like is going to stand in line for 8 hours to meet Dream, and then there's nothing else to do.
Right? Yeah, there's not really much else to do, right? And from my like, so my background is I'm a chief marketing officer of a digital marketing agency. So like my other objective while I was walking around was to look at all the brands that were there and find opportunities for my clients, right? So I do content creation for a lot of different food brands and different kinds of just like companies over here in the East Coast. And I noticed that trees overly saturated with just obviously tech companies and energy drink companies, but beyond that there was no like food brands there. There's a lack in a lot of different industries being exposed there, right? Like clothing brands, there was only like one clothing brand merch table. So like that kind of gave me a perspective for like my 9 to 5 to be like, okay, I need to get my clients in this industry before their competitors get there first.
It really seems like a missed opportunity, because it seems like food would be like one of the major things. Like, hey, yeah, we're in this big mall like setting, let's go to the food court.
We're gonna make some gamer energy bars and some salads, and we're gonna make a bunch of money.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. It's like as a food company, like the opportunity is there, and there's not many competitors, especially like if you look at like, for example, the competition within the Tarkov space, right? The only food vendors are Empire Jerky and then Goodies Granola, which shout out to the homies at Goodies. They're super nice people. I love them. But those are the only really the food brands there. Beyond that, it's a bunch of like energy drinks, right? G Fuel, Sneak,
a lot of energy drinks.
Advanced. You have all these competitors. They're all the same product, but they all just try to like try to flex a different attribute to them. But like beyond
Alpha Brain.
Yeah. Yeah, like we help you get focused.
Oh yeah, well we make your shit blue. Like, oh,
one of them said they gave me a boner that lasted 7 hours. That wasn't true.
Oh, that one's that's like Blue Chew. Blue Chew Energy. Get weird. Hard.
Dude, you've seen those commercials, are fucking fantastic. All
right. But yeah, like there's a lot of missed opportunities out there that they're like, for like a lot of companies in my perspective, I don't want to go too far on a tangent.
Oh, totally.
But a lot of the companies that I work with, they find the gaming industry like weird or odd, because obviously they're owned by baby boomers and whatnot. They think it's a silly industry that there's a lot of potential there, but
it is enormous.
It is one of the fastest growing industries in the world.
I'm just picturing old people
growing
at like a conference table, like, should we get involved with this gaming industry? It's cringe, Eugene. Cringe.
But like, I've been trying for years to try and like hook up some of my clients with some gamer like brands, because like, dude, like there's a big opportunity there, and they're just missing the mark. And I'm like, I don't want them to be too late, because their main competitors will probably be like, you know what, screw it, let's just shoot our shot, and then they end up blowing up, right? And then I'll be like, I told you so.
Imagine I don't wanna be there. Doing a PowerPoint for these like old suits, trying to get them involved in this thing, and they're just asking stupidly, like, what's a bussy? Like,
don't worry about it, it's like a Marlboro.
Oh, I love those. Jesus. So silly. Oh, man.
It was fun though. I enjoyed it. I think they'll probably get better every year. Like they had like a little survey thing they did. I did notice one of the weird things though, because like they had 3 days of TwitchCon. It was really weird. The first day you would go, it was like a bunch of smaller content creators. Right. Like you see a lot of affiliate tags. The second day, there was a lot more like of the bigger partners and stuff there. And then like day three, it was like the majority of the people there were all viewers. So like every tag had a different color. So like, you're an affiliate, you had a purple, or you had a pink tag, you were a partner, you had a purple tag. And if you were like an observer, I think is what they called it.
You think had like, this a was a plan? And, like,
three, it was the community tag.
I don't know. Tag. Yeah, it was just like a I don't know. Because I'm pretty sure you could go any day. I saw every tag every day. It just seemed like each day was weird. Like it was set up, it was tailored, like it seemed like a different group of people where there was interesting to like kind of sit and people watch, like especially on the stairs, like we just sit and kind of hang out. Some random guy walked up to me and force fed me a chocolate cricket. It was great.
What is with you getting force fed? Do you just have a face that says feed me?
Yeah, I just have a cute face. I got a cute mouth, I guess, is what they said.
They're just shoving adult Lunchables and chocolate crickets down your throat.
I was talking to Chew and Fallen after, and I was like, dude, I could have fucking died. I was like, there could have been like anthrax on that thing.
I mean, to be fair, after mall rats, I'm not eating a chocolate covered anything from a stranger.
I don't think, like, in my head, I was still so hungover. I don't think like I realized that it was a cricket. I think it was just, I thought it was like a raisin, and then I ate it and I was like, this is crunchy and weird.
This raisin has legs. I was like,
it's funky, it's still chirping.
It's like, thanks for feeding me bugs, random stranger.
And I just walked away. Like, they weren't marked, they weren't like branded, they were just in a Tupperware container.
Oh, so to be fair, you can't give fallen neophyte shit for eating fucking unlabeled greasy street meat when you're eating chocolate covered bugs from strangers.
To be fair.
Oh my god, so fucking silly. So at the event, were there like booths dedicated to certain games? Because I know you said like the food wasn't really well represented, clothing wasn't really well represented. Were these games well represented other than just streamers and meetup booths?
The big ones, obviously.
Yeah, you have Raid Shadow Legends. Like, you have one booth for them. You had one booth for Black Desert. You had like a various different little showcases and whatnot. Obviously they had like their like amphitheater set up, right? So they had Apex events and they had a whole bunch of events like that. But in general, I don't think there was a lot of games. Too
many. There was a section that would rotate every day of like early access games that were going to be coming out and let people like try them out and get on like a list for like an access key.
Okay.
If they were like a content creator and whatnot, but there wasn't like even that, there was like, I think 10 booths I got to rotate out. There wasn't that many. Like, when you say it's a gaming convention, it just didn't really feel like
I wouldn't put it in a gaming convention type of vibe. Yeah. That's more like PAX. That's more like when E3 was a thing, right? All those were more gaming conventions. This felt more like a just Twitch content creation like convention. They were just focused on Twitch stuff versus like actual games and stuff that you could get involved with.
Totally.
So it was definitely more tailored towards like a content creator.
So you guys said you did a little bit of people watching at these events. Now, did you see anybody completely freak out over either someone that they admire in scene or like, oh my God, there's the Hammerhead booth. I'm going to ever step
the
on me.
The line for Dream was, I don't know if you know how big that theater, like the convention center is. It's like, what, a mile and a half long or some shit? Like, it's huge. This line went. It's like a two-story building, and the second floor was where all the meetups were. And like Dream's line went from one end of the building all the way down, and then
and around.
All the and this way was back. Before his unmasking, so he's just literally sitting there in a mask.
This was after. This was after. So everyone wanted to like meet him in person, like.
That's probably why he did it. He's like, some idiot's going to rip off my mask.
That was a power play.
Hundreds and hundreds, like, I would say thousands of people, like, just standing in line. And, like, we were talking, and we're like, well, what's this line for? They're like, oh, it's a sea dream. We're like, how long have you been sitting here? They're like 6 hours. We're like, what?
5 days.
Wow. So, like, half a mile away from the door.
Yeah, that was wild.
I don't know what kind of experience they're hoping to get from that. Like, he's going to be so just burnt out by the time you get there.
Oh, hey, hi.
And he's going to be like, yo, what's up? And then you're going to go to his Twitch and be like, remember me, Dream? And be like, not even a little bit.
Nah, dude, I met like 1,000 people. Though, I did spot Amaranth, but she was incognito mode. So, like, she had a hat on, she had sunglasses on, like, she was full incognito, but I recognized her. I was like, that's Amaranth.
So it's pretty much Superman, just put on glasses.
Yeah, well, it was like, obviously, you know her, like, bright red hair, but, like, she had, like, a black hat on, big sunglasses on, like, a sweater on, so you couldn't really see her upper body, like, everything was, like, hidden, and she just, like, kind of walked through the convention, like, trying to incognito, because, obviously, like, I guess in her industry and what she's focused on, I guess I would want to be incognito, because you probably have a lot of people.
She does have a stalker that apparently did go to the con. So that was
probably got more than one.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There's just one that is like very public.
A bunch of creepy dudes.
Yeah, right. I mean, even for example, Endra apparently had one, and she was trying to avoid them and like avoid running into them. So like that's why we were like, just stay with our group, stay with our big group, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, stay with the big drinking group of like manly 7 foot tall men. We'll protect you.
A bunch of very big people that
all bearded.
Our group was like, look at all these guys, they're huge.
It's like hide in the lumberjack men of Tarkov, because there's a lot of beards in the Tarkov community.
7 foot with a fucking big beard.
Yeah, like there's a ton of really, really like tall and just like big people. Like we were just like, I mean, you have just a lot of like, as long as you're in a big group of people, you're gonna be safe, right? So that's like the ideal.
Just like fucking the new God of War, there's giants. Oh man, so fucking awesome. So with your experience, did you guys go to any previous Twitch cons, or was this your first introduction into the Twitch con like realm?
This is my first. Yeah. My first TwitchCon. This is my first year of like streaming too, so like that was the main reason we went. But yeah, I go to like PAX and stuff every year, but this was my first TwitchCon. I don't think they did it the last like 3 years, did they?
COVID really shut a lot of it down. I don't know about, I know they canceled 2 years. I don't know about three. But yeah, I know it's been on hold.
Last 2 years. Yeah.
So if you had to rate from one being terrible to 10 being absolutely balls to the wall amazing, what would either of you rate this event? And as non-biased as possible, like, don't let the other one's answer reflect your own answer. What would you say it was?
Well, my question to clarify is, are you talking about the convention itself? Or like,
yeah, the convention itself.
Together, like,
just the convention, itself.
out of 10, I would give it like a, if I'm being straight up, like a, maybe like 5. Like it's not really that great. The actual convention with the
networking the main we thing. Got out of it, definitely a 10. Like,
yeah,
because you guys were proactive. You guys made those things happen.
Yeah, as long as you're willing to get out of like go out of your comfort zone and meet people outside of the event, and like you actually talk to people and like make that effort, like in after parties or just like during the lunchtime afterwards, right? Where you can just like, we were at the convention and we just met up with a bunch of people. Well, so let's go get lunch. We just all go get lunch together. We chat and just hang out. Like, I found out Flan is pudding, literally only eats French fries. Like, it's a great time. But like, if you need to make active maneuvers and active stuff after the event, then yeah, it's worth it. Then I would say like the event itself for me was easy, like an easy 8 or 9. But like the actual convention, I don't think the convention's worth it. Like realistically, if I went to TwitchCon again, I don't know if I would get the ticket. Yeah, I'll get a 1 day like a 1 day pass just to go there for like 1 day, and then after that, just go to the after party and stuff.
Because I know a bunch of people who don't really stream, that they're more observers, and they love it. And they're like, oh yeah, if I went there, I'd be best friends with General Sam. They say things like that. It's just like, it doesn't really work like that. Like, yeah,
it doesn't work like that. Like, you have a bunch of people that would like fangirl and stuff like that over people. I don't really have that mentality. Like, even to other like Tarkov streamers, I'll be like, hey, you know, you're what you do is cool. Like, I saw Aqua and I was like, hey, dude, you know, I like watching your videos. But like, for the most part, you just walk up and talk to them like a normal person. Like,
You gotta remember, they're also normal people.
Yeah, like, they're a just lot, like, normal people.
People seem to forget.
The thing is, we have the perspective of a content creator, right? So we do what they do. We go through the struggles that they go through. So like, we know that they're human and they go through the same type of stuff that we go through. So that's like when I talked to Clean, like we were talking about like moving outside of the Tarkov industry, because like I have a big phobia of streaming other games. So I was trying to get information from him, because he'd made that decision a few years back. And I wanted to get his perspective on like how that experience went for him. But like, it's just they're normal people. Like, they're not anything crazy. Like, they're just regular people who have regular lives. They all have their own problems.
Right.
You have to remember that as a viewer. Like, these people just want to be treated like normal people, right? When you don't want to treat them like a fangirling, like, yeah, it's nice after a while, right? Someone fangirls over you, like, that's really, really cool. But realistically, after a while, you want to just have a real conversation. Like, you just want to talk to someone.
Once somebody makes a Helga Packy gum doll of you in their closet, then you get kind of like, well...
Yeah, that is a little weird. Yeah, but
because there's that weird dynamic of being on a screen and people watching you, because a Twitch streamer is kind of like a TV show in a way. That's kind of what it is. You know, you turn on your television, turn on your computer, you go to your favorite channel, and you watch your favorite actor or actress on the screen. So there is that weird disconnect for some people who don't stream, who can kind of adopt these weird things. Like, I know a lot of people who don't stream who put certain content creators on pedestals, and it's just like, you know, he's just a regular guy, right? Like, oh no, this dude's blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's like what we're talking about too, though. Like, when you're in front of the camera, for the most part, like, you're not gonna, like, you're not acting 100% how you are normally too. Sure. Like, we obviously have a lot more a lot more energetic. Like, we're energetic people to begin with, but like,
yeah,
if we're just like chilling, wanting to hang out, like, if I'm talking to Fallen an hour before stream, we're saving that energy. We're just sitting there chatting, playing a game, you know, mm-hmm. just hanging out, having fun, talking to the community. And then
totally.
when that camera does turn on, like, it's game time, like, all the energy's
you're,
there.
You're,
like,
yeah, you're putting on a show.
Put on a
right?
show.
Because, right? Like, for me, like, I look at content creation and there's niches, right? And this is one of the main things that I learned. Because before I started streaming, I did a lot of research. I was researching different content creators to see what they did right. And a lot of them told me that there's three different niches. There is the entertainer, which is where I think my category and Steve's category kind of falls in, right? And then there is the educator, which is going to be like your Pestily, right? And then, Pestily, and like Dr. Luke, yeah, those are your educators. And then you have your absolute GigaChad sweat lords, who are the top tier 1% of gaming of that industry, right? So that's your Landmark, that's your Willer Z, right? What you want to do is obviously have a balance of all three, but each person, each content creator leans more into one of those categories, right? So for me, I'm an entertainer, right? I have all the energy in the world. I am boom, collected a baseline skanka. Like, I have a whole bunch of energy putting on a whole show. Right. The educator aspect gets put into my TikTok. And then on top of that, like, the actual GigaChad plays, like, that comes with just making the content. Right. But it's just, I feel like it's just like you have like a switch. A lot of people, for example, when they hop into my Discord, they met me in person, right? I'm a lot more relaxed and I'm a lot more chill. I'm still energetic. I still have my regular ADHD personality, but I'm not going to be like hitting
that.
That's what we were talking about, like, before the thing where, like, you mute. Like, we'd be just talking to people and then you'd be like, all right, we're gonna go live, we'll be back in like 10 minutes. We'd mute and we'd come back with the whole introduction and everything and be like, wait, who is this? Like, this is not the same person we're just talking to.
So do you guys,
it's like way more energy.
Do you guys have any pre-recording or pre-stream rituals? Like, do you listen to a certain song? Do you, like, look at yourself in the mirror and get all pumped up like a football player? Like, is there any particular thing you do?
There's definitely a ritual. There's definitely a ritual. Like, I can't speak for Fallen, but, like, I have a very specific set of things that I do once I hit the live button. Like, I usually will pick a certain amount of songs that I like that are going to hype me up and the people watching, and it usually is, like, a 10-minute intro. I'll usually be drinking my first energy drink or my first G Fuel. And then I do all my social media posts. Like, it's all organized and in order. And, like, if I realize I'm not doing something, I'll add it to that routine. But, like, it's something you kind of build as you do it, like, over time, as you're going through, like, especially before you hit the live button, like, making sure your audio sources are all good, making sure your scenes are all good, your cameras are all set up right.
Right.
Like, there's definitely a routine to it. Like, everyone's a little bit different.
For me, like, I have to warm up my voice. Like, I have to do, like, I literally, some people will be in VC on doing it, and I'll be like, A-E-I-O-U, bloca, blo, like, I was like trying to hit those lower octaves, right? To try and get that proper sound.
Like an opera singer. Like, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plane.
Yeah. Cause I don't want to go live and be like, boom, clot. No, I want to be boom, clot. Like, I want to be like, I want to have that low end that goes into it, right? So I have to warm up my voice. And then for me, like, my rituals, obviously checking all my lights, because I have a lot of different lighting systems. I have, like, key lights, I have top lights, I have back lights, I have side lights, I have a whole bunch of lighting systems that I have to prep ahead of time. And then I prep a whole lineup of music similar to what Steve-O does. But what I do on my end is I have a designer who's from Holland. Some of my backgrounds, I used to perform live music at music festivals. I used to do dubstep and rhythm and all that kind of stuff. Right. So I had a designer who created me a bunch of visuals when I would perform. So I actually integrated that into my stream. game instead. So instead of having like a starting soon scene, right, where like everyone has this, I wanted to create like a visual experience for people. So like the beginning of my stream is like nice nature scenes where I'll have like a nice slow track, just kind of like getting everyone prepped. Right. And then it moves into like another set of visuals, which are like a lot more spooky, a lot more intensive. And the music picks up, it gets a little bit darker, it gets more high paced. Okay. And I slowly bring it into like a whole nother scene where it's like my real intro scene.
And then it goes from that actual, like, to a homeless man eating a rat, just as dark as possible.
No, like, the last song is always like the super hyped up one, because like you're there, you're ready, like you want to get people ready to watch that.
So it's a full journey, the transition.
Yeah, it's a because like that's what I want to create.
Pumps you up.
Yeah,
like you're sitting there blasting it.
Yeah, I pick, like, I have a specific intro song. Like, I have, like, a scene that's, like, all scenes from, like, all classic horror movies. And, like, there's a specific song that I play called
Lucifer. Coming for you, Barbara, really that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so like that kind of stuff, that like that's where like I flick the switch and I'm like, all right, here we go, and then I put on the whole show, and then the show begins, and then I'm on screen, right? So like you have a ritual. I think everyone has their own unique ritual. I think my biggest advice would be to don't for the intro, don't, like, in my opinion, that's you setting the tone for your stream. If you like kind of just leave it as a starting soon scene and it's just kind of like there, and then you just kind of appear on screen without any sort of like preemptive something to build everyone up to it, right, you're missing an opportunity. Like that's a whole opportunity to kind of like bring everyone up to where you want them to be. It's like having like an opener at a concert. That's how I view it, right? I have an opener, someone opening before I perform. They're the ones who are setting the mood for everybody in the crowd. I want to do that with my intros, right? So like a lot of people, I feel like that's like
place
that's
advice
to a lot of content creators. Yeah,
because that sets the scene. Like, yeah, just jumping straight into it, that might be for some people, but that's the cool thing, is when you have that like pre stuff going, it gives you that extra time to be like, oh, the video's almost over, I gotta jump into it, like, you know, it kind of builds up that anticipation.
Oh, bro, I'm like pounding. Like, I have like I pound one full like shaker bottle of G Fuel during that intro. Like, I'm flooring that down, and by the time the last song hits, I'm like, all right, let's go.
Shotgunning it right before.
And that's why, like, I know, like, me and Fallen, like, when we stream, like, you'll see streamers that can go for like 12, you know, 24 hours. It's rough for us to go past like 4 to 5 hours, because we put so much energy into those 4 hours before we hit the end stream that like trying to do it longer than that sometimes is exhausting. And like, people notice that you're like, oh, you're not as hyper. You're like, yeah, I can't keep that up 24/7. Like
I have kids, my back hurts.
Oh, bro, I'm like, during my stream, I actually have the AC running like 63 degrees in my apartment, because I'm hot, I'm sweating, I am moving, I'm yelling. Like, for me to go really long, like a long stream, is exhausting. Like, after every single one of my streams, they're like 4 hours and change. Like, I'm hungry as fuck. Like, I want to eat something, and it's already 12:30 at night. I need to eat a little snack before I go to sleep. But like, that we put a lot of effort into it, whereas like the other people who do like these long subathons, well, their content's a lot more chill, it's a lot more relaxed, so they can get away with it. But like, for me, like, I wouldn't be able to do 12 hours. I wouldn't be able to do a 24 hour. Yeah, exactly. my formula does not function for that kind of stuff.
They expect like loud music, nosebleeds, like fun times, lots of laughs, lots of energy.
So theoretically, you could hit those times, but you probably wouldn't stream for like the next week. Like, I need to recover. Fuck.
Exactly. Yeah, I did a 12-hour stream for Dying Light 2, and I didn't fucking stream for like 4 days after that because I was so tired. I was exhausted.
No, totally.
Yeah, 100%.
Was there anything at TwitchCon that inspired you guys? Whether this be a person, whether this be something you overheard, whether this be like something you saw, was there anything at TwitchCon that inspired you guys to do anything different with your content? Like, whether it be play a new game or try something new or do an eating stream or anything weird like that. Was there anything that inspired you guys to step in a different direction with content?
I had a couple chats with like Chusky and a couple people who have seen my stream in the past, and like, obviously I was talking to them about like, you know, certain times of my stream, like, you know, viewership will drop off, or like things that I can do to grow it. And they pointed out a couple things that I used to do in my stream. Like, for example, like at the end of wipes, I'll usually play a bunch of Factory, and like, I will run Factory 24/7. I'll kill a bunch of people, you know, we'll get a lot of cool clips, and I have a lot of people that watch it. And like Chusky was talking, he's like, it's a good formula because you're rinsing and repeating these raids. You're getting your name out there because obviously my TTV tags and my name. So he's like, you got to think you're killing six people every 5 minutes. Those people are coming in. And then you're having these other people come in because they know it's just constant action. Like, so he was like, do that more instead of like, you know, focusing on the quest. He's like, everyone comes to watch that high energy, like the high action gameplay. Like, if that's what people are there to watch, like, stick with that, do that. So like, I definitely like caught back onto that because I kind of didn't realize that that was working for me. And I was able to kind of bring that back into it and did notice that, like, you know, the viewership picks back up. People are having a lot more fun. They're chatting a lot more. They enjoy the stream because there's a lot of action. It's not a lot of downtime. Like, Turco can obviously have a ton of downtime, is why, like, that's why, like,
but the downtime is where I thrive in my stream. Like, that downtime is where, like, I'm able to put on the show. I'm able to do song requests. I'm able to, like, dance. I'm able to do all sorts of crazy stuff. So I thrive within that downtime. Now, from my perspective, though, it's like from TwitchCon, I didn't get as much out of it in regards to like what to change or what to do for my stream. That I got that more when I met with people in New York for the New York meetup. That was, I got more information and I was able to have like a real conversation with like Ash IV. And at that time he like had just become partner and he like kind of gave me perspective of like, he told me like your stream like itself, there's not much that I would say change. Cause like you have a lot of stuff that's going on. You have a lot of like unique content in there. It's more so what you do after stream. So it's the type of content you put on TikTok, the type of content you put on Instagram and YouTube shorts and all that kind of stuff. That's where I needed to work on. And that's what I'm still working on. And I think that's kind of been my focal point. And then also kind of just getting more comfortable playing other games outside of Escape from Tarkov is right. The one thing I need to work on for, like, me sometimes, at least.
You don't force them to play other games with me on stream.
Yeah. So, like, there's certain games where it's just like, I have to figure out the proper formula for me. Cause like, my type of show that I put on is very much so tailored around those downtimes in Tarkov and like those moments in Tarkov that you get uniquely. Yeah, uniquely like just to that game versus like Call of Duty, for example. It's like in and out. You're in a game, like rinse and repeat 30 seconds. There's no downtime.
Or even Marauders where it loads so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's what, like, we're talking about that. Oh,
totally. Sorry, no, you're absolutely right. Like, your setup is based towards that particular game and it's set load times. So transitioning over, even though like we're in a very interesting spot for people who play the looter and shooter genre, because the looter and shooter genre is kind of blowing up. You have Dark and Darker, you have Cycle Frontier, you have fucking Marauders, you have DMZ about to drop. And you know this is, and then you have a Hell Is Others, that top down that just came out too. Like, the looter and shooter genre is starting to blow up in a very unprecedented way. So you guys are kind of at the ground floor. So it's one of those things where you're like, which is super exciting. And you guys are kind of like at the ground floor level. You already have this looter and shooter experience. So you could take that and just continue to grind Tarkov. You could take that variety into other of those games. But the style of stream that you have is set for one game. It's definitely going to be a difficulty to try to move that over when you don't have those expected downtimes. But like, hey, it might take me 8 minutes to load and raid. I'm going to do some crazy shit where it's like, oh, 30 seconds, we're in. You know, it's going to be a complete change.
I think it'll be easier for me to like move into games like Darker and Darker and like maybe Marauders, maybe DMZ, because you do have those downtimes there. But like, for example, Call of Duty multiplayer and then Escape from Tarkov are way different formats and timings for content, right?
We were talking about like stream. I know last time we played on stream, he was like, there's no time to like talk to people. And I was like, well, like the only time I chat with people really when I'm playing, like, and I have to actively remember to talk to people while I'm playing Call of Duty is like your kill cam screen. Like, you have 8 seconds there where you can look over and look at chat and chat with someone for a second and then go back in, die after 30 seconds and then talk again. It's like, you just have to find the times where you can do it. Cause like, if you're spamming F to respawn, like, you aren't going to have time to talk. So like, I don't know. You just have to figure out where you can look over and chat. And it just depends on like how focused you are on the game, I guess you would say. Like, sometimes I'll be playing ranked Valorant and I won't talk very much. And there's other times where I'm just playing unranked and I'm just goofing off and having fun with chat.
Right. See, that's the hard thing too, is everyone has their own style, their own approach. So there's no like XYZ or ABC combination that's going to work for every single streamer when it comes to every single game, which is unfortunate, but at the same time, it's so cool because that's where you get so many unique things. That's where you get so many people who do so many different things in this scene. Like that one guy, every time he gets a kill in Tarkov, he has like a fucking rave behind him.
Yeah, that one kid. Yeah.
Or the guy with the dunk tank. Every time he dies, he gets fucking dunked.
It's fun. Yeah. Like, coming from doing this for just over, just coming up on a year now, I think in 2 weeks, like the amount of stuff that I do now that I didn't do when I started, when it comes to just like making the stream unique or like my attitude when I'm streaming, like it's fun. It's a fun thing to evolve, to like watch happen. Like, especially like if you're getting into content creation, like don't be scared to like try new things, I would say. Right. Like, be yourself, but like just emphasize on those points of yourself and like grow that, and like people will come and watch for you being you. Like,
yeah, it's also like figuring out like what your passions are and putting those passions into your stream, right? So that people can establish, yeah, they can establish that interpersonal relationship with you. And when they have that relatability, when it comes to any form of content, that's this one thing I tell my clients all the time, is you want your page or your brand to be relatable. You want your viewer to be able to relate to it and have a relationship with it. If you are just going live, you're not talking about your interests, you're not kind of like showing them like any sort of like extra thing like about you, how are they supposed to establish a relationship? Yeah, like how are you supposed to like have them stick around to want to be with you, because you want to be able to be friends with them, right? Like, I understand like a lot of so it's kind of just using whatever you're passionate about and then leaning into that and then putting it into your content. That's the biggest thing for me.
Then you have fun with it too, because like people get burned out real easy and they're like, you know, like making TikToks and stuff after the fact can get real hard. And it's like, well, if you're not doing something you like find a style or a formula that you like to do. Mm-hmm. That works, and like just keep practicing and polishing that, and eventually, you know, that'll work for you. Like, just something you have to work on.
Because the unique thing,
if you're not making content and having fun with it, it's not worth it, in my opinion.
Right. Well, there are people who get into this for the wrong reasons too. Like, I know people who say they're burned out, and the only reason they're burned out is because they're not hitting the results that they wanted through a certain period of time. Like, I didn't hit affiliate during my like timetable I gave myself, I'm fucking over this, or I didn't do this for this time, or I didn't hit this many viewers. Like, there are people who have set goals who like that's all they're like, they're zeroed in on that. Then they get the people who make content because they love to make content. Like, both can exist obviously in this realm, but there's those people
good to have.
Exactly. But there's the people who make it an obsession.
On the flip side though, it's like a lot of people when they try and enter this industry, they think it's just go live and just play the game. And it's what the sad part is a lot of people don't have direction. They don't have someone to help them or like kind of tell them like, hey, this is what you want to do if you want to achieve this goal. And like that was I don't want to like get too far into it, but like Steve-O, for example, when he was very first starting out, I really fuck with him. Like, I love the guy now at this point, and I really saw potential with him. So I sat down with him. I was like, all right, these are the elements that you're going to need. I didn't want him to go through what I went through for my first half of my year of streaming, where it's like making bad decisions of joining stream teams, or like making bad decisions of doing like X, Y, and Z, and not really having a direction, not really knowing what to do with myself. I wanted to kind of just give him the information so he can move faster, right?
Right.
And I think Steve-O can tell you himself, it's like this year has been very lucrative for him. Like, he skipped
the top 1% of Twitch streamers
like within a year, because you got to skip that bullshit like in the beginning that a lot of people deal with, and they don't have anyone to help them. And I think as a content creator, if you've been doing this longer and you have a formula you know that works, share it with people, man. Like, it's I don't know, I think it's in other industries a lot of people don't like, they like to keep their own little secrets and stuff, and like obviously I have my own little secrets of like the things that I do, right? But I wanted to give as much information as I can so that I could help
see potential in someone, help them out. Like,
absolutely. It's like, you're not just going to let somebody who you see potential in just drown, especially when you have the tools to help somebody. Like, I don't understand why people gatekeep certain things, but you know,
they gatekeep hard.
Everybody's very different. Like, you know, those people who like, especially parents, like, I had to learn the hard way, so I want to make my kids learn the hard way. It's like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you like,
if
you
have information, make their life easier?
Yeah, pass it along. Like, why not?
I think it's my biggest advice to anyone who's listening here is that if you want to get into content creation, I would say identify three things that you are uniquely passionate about outside of gaming, whether it be anime, whether it be horror movies. Like, for me, it's horror movies, music, and anime. Like, those are like my three main things that I'm very much so interested in outside of this whole streaming and content creation and video game thing. Pick three things, incorporate them into your stream and your content to make it different than everyone else, and then find your voice, right? Because I mean, there's a lot of people who just like talk monotone. Find your individual identity and voice as a content creator, because there's going to be like, this is not my voice when I'm streaming. Like, this is me being normal and just being real with you guys. Like, but there's like a voice that you can have if you really want to put it in there, put that emphasis. Like Steve-O's voice gets way higher. It's like, what's good, guys? Like, he'll have this like really, really high animated personality, and like that's you need to find that voice. And then once you implement those three passions, now you're unique and you're different than anyone else who just went live and started playing a game. Now you're different.
You memorable.
And what is your favorite anime, Fallen?
Oh God! And this is where I leave.
So
this is gonna be another hour.
So I'll keep it short. When it comes to anime, one that I've been growing up with for the longest time and that I've always had a passion for is One Piece. Beyond that, Hunter Hunter or Hunter X Hunter, however you want to pronounce
into that. Yeah. I'm watching that right now.
Super good.
That clown man's relationship with those children. I'm surprised the cops have not gotten involved.
Oh no! I'm only like 70 episodes in.
Yeah.
No spoilers. And then no spoilers.
I would say Tokyo Ghoul is a special place in my heart. And then also when it comes to new school anime, I would say Jujutsu Kaisen and Chainsaw Man, because I've been reading those mangas for a while. I'm very happy with where they're at too. Oh. And quick little shout out to Fire Force, the very first anime that had ever actually used sound properly. A lot of animes forget that you could use sound to add impact to moments. And if you guys haven't seen Fire Force, I highly recommend it. And when you watch it, have a subwoofer or have a good pair of headphones, because they actually add impact and emphasis to moments throughout the show with like a big sub bass just kind of swooshing in like a wave, and then it hits. Like, it's really, really cool. They actually use like the score and the sound way different than any other anime has ever.
All right. So don't worry, Steve-O. We're almost done with the anime bit. So, Fallen, if you were to eat a devil fruit from One Piece and get any power, what would that power be?
I would either I would either do the op fruit, which is what Law has, or I would eat Fujitora's fruit, which is the gravity fruit. Those are the two I would choose.
As a stoner, I'd probably have to take Smoker's.
I know that one.
I mean, it's a nice Logia, but like the thing is once someone can use Haki or Beat, dude, gravity fruit, dude.
Yeah, I'm like I can 5'6". I'm getting beat no matter what, bro.
No, dude, brother. If you have a cracked ability, let's say you have the op fruit, right? Law's fruit. You just go room and you create a room and you control everything in that space. It doesn't matter how tall, small, or big you are. Anyone who enters your space is now at your disposal. You can make them fall apart. You can take the heart away from them. You can do all sorts of shenanigans, right? Fujitora, like, even if you're a tiny guy, my guy, if a huge dude comes at you, guess what? 1,000 times gravity. That guy's hitting the floor and now he's way below you. You can just step on his neck, right? So like, or you can bring a meteor down from space and smash it down on him. Like, there's some fruits that are really, really good, man.
All right, last anime-based question. In Berserk, when Guts is confronted by that demon who says, "Hey, stop hanging out with this asshole. He's going to betray you." Why the fuck does Guts not listen to him? it's like this demon has nothing to give. Like, he's got nothing to he's got nothing to gain from this. Why not listen?
Because I mean, at that point he's so loyal. He was so loyal, and it's for character development, obviously,
which is hilarious because they tried to kill him the first encounter multiple times. It's like, dude, you don't trust these fucks. These guys suck.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Berserk is one of the best written mangas I've ever seen. The animes are meh, the movies are okay, but the manga itself is one of the most hard-hitting, most adult, most like well-written stories ever. And RIP to the creator, because he passed away, but that was it's incredible. It's an incredible storyline. It really is.
Wrapping back to adult talk that will get you in, Steve-O, back to all the regular stuff. How long? So you guys have been in this game for a minute. How long would you say it took for you to find your individual voice as a streamer? If you had a ballpark. I know nobody knows the exact minute
as
second.
As a streamer?
Yes.
I mean, I would say it took me probably 3 or 4 months. But again, I had fallen on a couple other people that were, helping me through it. But like, once I sat down and like reflected on what I had to do, I'd probably say it took me like 5 or 6 months, I would say.
Yeah, for me, it was Because in the beginning of my streaming career, I made a lot of mistakes. I was joining like stream teams who were just like using like the worst experience. I joined the stream team. I'm not going to name it. But I did meet some good people. Like I still have two friends that I still like I'm very close with from that group. Cause they know me from way back in the day, but that stream team was just like the owner manipulating and using everyone for viewership. So like that was a huge waste of time. That was 3 months of just wasted. Luckily it helped me get affiliate. Right. But beyond that, it didn't teach me anything. Yeah. Around after 6 months I started in like October. I guess it was after like maybe 3 months. I got to January and I said, all right, no more stream teams. I'm gonna focus on me. And then from there, I just genuinely like fell into my stride. I found my voice because no one else was trying to mitigate me. I joined two different stream teams. They were trying to like make me fit this niche that they wanted for me instead of me wanting to create my own brand and like be me being me. So then once January came around, I said, forget these stream teams. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then that's when I found my voice. I was able to be who I wanted to be and I could do whatever I wanted to do because no one was telling me no. And I guess around, it took me like three to four months to kind of fit my stride. And then from there around 6 to 7 months to really figure out how to develop the stream itself to make an experience out of it, if that makes sense.
Nice. So coming into the next thing, what is your guys' biggest pet peeves as a streamer? Is it equipment malfunctions? Is it people coming into chat and dropping the, hey, come follow me, or do you want to be famous links? Like, what is the biggest pet peeve you audio. As a content creator have? The audio is up there for me too. Fuck audio. I hate it. What about you, Neo?
So are you talking about audio in a game, Steve?
No, I'm talking about every, like, so like on my stream deck, I have where I can listen from my perspective and then from the audience perspective, and I am constantly going and checking like all the levels of, you know, music, game, my voice, Discord, all the people talking in Discord, make sure all the levels are correct. Cause like, and then if I go pull a VOD, I've had times where like I'll be playing with someone and on my end it sounds fine, and then I'll go listen to the audio in the VOD and realize that like the person talking is very quiet comparison to everything else, and I'm like, damn it. And then it's really hard to adjust those audios.
So I think it's probably because I've been doing it longer, but I already have my formula for audio, so it hasn't really been an issue. Sometimes I'll get like somebody will be a little quiet and then my chat will be like, hey, it's kind of quiet. I'll just adjust it. That's no big deal to me. Pet peeves. Let's see, would be, I have a, like the, like you mentioned the follow, click here to get like a bunch of followers. I find those funny to me. Cause that's like an instant ban. My mods get to do something.
And then I make fun of my mods. I'm like, damn dude, we could have been famous.
Clout, it could have been all mine.
I think my biggest pet peeve would be, for example, raiding somebody who is not appreciative of said raid, or like they're on follower or they're on follower only mode. Like that shit tilts my towers, because I'm trusting people, like my viewers, to recommend people who are going to be appreciative, they're going to be like enjoyed it, they're going to be like nice to my community, because like you're sharing community with somebody, you're trusting them with your community, right? And if they're not appreciative, if they're a dickhead the entire time, this has happened to me once and I've never been angrier, because somebody in my like chat was like, oh, do this guy, and I was like, all right, bet. I go in, I raid him, he's on follower only mode, and he just like, oh hi. And then that's it. Like, he doesn't really put any effort into like thanking. Like, I don't even care if he thanks me. Just say hello to my community and stuff, and like be nice to them. Like, chat with them, see who they are. Like, cause they're all in there just chatting, like typing in your chat. Like that is what pisses me off. Like, when people think they're too good for it
on me or Fallen's, like, we'll stop what we're doing. Like, if we're in Tarkov, we'll hide in a corner and we'll, you know, we'll mute or deafen or do whatever we have to, and like sit there and welcome everybody and thank the guy for the raid. Like,
this happened to me. It happened to me yesterday. Like, I had just loaded into a customs raid with King Will. Arson raided me with 100 people. We were already planning to go to dorms. I was like, all right, King, sorry, I gotta go do something. And I went in on customs in between power building and fortress. You know, those little like cement circles. I just jumped into one of them, hunkered down inside of one. And I went back to my chatting screen, like spent a solid like 5 to 10 minutes just talking to everyone, saying hello, saying thank you to Arson, checking like how was their stream, like putting on a show, because I have like a whole bunch of video content that I play when I get raided. I have sound alerts that I play. I have like careless whisper play so I can flirt with the person who raided me. Right. Like all these different little things to make them feel special and make all the viewers feel special because they trusted the community to be with me, right? and they're always their first comments like, you were right, this guy has so much energy. It's always funny to me, but like, that is what I expect and I hope people start doing more often, is like to really like say hello to the community that just entered your chat, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, like, and then after that, like King Will is like, I already killed two people, I would love some help. And I'm like, all right, guys, now I gotta get back to the game.
Sorry,
I had to go do this. And then I was like, Arson just raided. And he was like, oh, okay, totally fine. And then we ended up wiping the map, right? But that's the level of appreciation that people should have. And right, that's 100%. Something that like definitely irks people. I know for other people, like I have friends like Noonga and other individuals who will tell me, like, people who are follower only mode, and like it doesn't warrant follower only mode, is frowned upon.
It hurts them.
That is like, yeah, that bad. Hurts you. Doesn't it hurts you, because if someone looks at, like, it wants to raid someone new and they see you follower only mode on, they're not gonna raid you, because like it's super frowned upon, and a lot of people think it's like the smart thing to do, and it's not.
To go back to what you're saying, where people fall into certain niches when it comes to streaming, like I'm just getting into streaming now. I'm mostly a podcaster. I just started streaming Project Zomboid, and I know a lot about the game, so I take an educational role, and I don't have alerts set up yet, so sometimes something will happen and I won't see it or I won't pay attention to it because I'm too busy explaining something. I'll look over and like, oh shit, somebody raided me. Oh fuck. Like, that's why alerts are so important.
I have the worst hit feeling in my stomach sometimes when I won't catch an alert, or like my audio will jack up on the alert so it won't go off. Like it happens occasionally where they'll glitch out and you won't hear it. And I feel so fucking bad when that happens, or like I miss a message from someone that was like a direct question, and I always feel real bad when that happens.
Right.
Yeah, it's happened a few times.
One thing that I always do is like when you get a bunch of chats, I'll always scroll back up to the top and I'll go through and just make sure I read everything. Obviously it's harder when you get bigger and you have like thousands of people, like can't really read everything. But that's where like mods come in clutch. Like having someone who's there who will be like, hey, like they'll at you and be like, hey, you just got raided, then that's a good thing to help you out. But an alert will also help too, right?
Oh, absolutely. So unfortunately, we're getting close to our time constraint, which is sad, because I feel like I could talk to you guys for probably another hour. But it's one of those things where we try to keep it between an hour and a half. So before we turn this one out, at this point, is your guys' time to say whatever it is you would like to say, whether you want to plug an event, whether you want to talk to a sponsor, whether you want to thank somebody in your audience, like your community or whatnot. Now is your guys' time to say whatever it is you would want to say. The floor is both of yours.
Steve, will you go first? I need to take a TP, BRB.
Oh, God damn it. He does this to me all the time. I mean, obviously, like we were talking last time, I would say thanks to the community, because like if it wasn't for my community and the people watching me, like I wouldn't be doing this. In a year with how much we've grown, sometimes it gets like emotional, like just because it's grown quite a bit, and it's real cool to see like all these people coming back and actually enjoying like watching me play a game. I didn't think that was gonna be something that happened,
right?
And then when it goes to what we're talking about, finding your voice and finding your niche and finding your things, like keep an eye on Twitter, because there's stuff in the works from a couple partners and whatnot that I was talking to at TwitchCon, and we're kind of setting up something like that for newer streamers to kind of help them out with setting that kind of gig up.
That's super
cool.
They
can kind of go and help set up on a new stream.
Kind of like a creators club possible thing. Let's not go into it. Let's let it be a surprise. I'm actually super curious about that. That's super cool. Steve-O, are you back from your TP break?
You follow?
Damn it!
Yeah,
hey, no. At least I only fucked up once this entire episode.
Yeah, I'm back. Steve, are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess from my end, people that I want to shout out or thank, obviously the first things first is the community, right? My goal for streaming was to be able to create a place where people can be themselves, feel safe, and be able to have a place to be. Cause a lot of people out there, realistically, some people don't have friends, and I want to create a community where you can feel like everyone's a friend and everyone can hang out. And it feels really special to me that people even are in my chat before I even go live and stuff like that. It really does mean the world to me, because without them I wouldn't have all the opportunities that I have today. So that's the first thing. Second thing is my mod team. Mod team is super, super nice. They help me with a lot of things. They help me with all my commands, and without them this whole thing would not move like a smooth sailing ship. So once again, shout out to all of them and everything that they do. Beyond that, I want to say quick shout out to Goodies Granola, the company that I work with and that I am affiliated with. They wanted to be different than a lot of other brands, and they actually do that. Just for example, a lot of brands like to just give out affiliate codes and that's it. The Goodies Granola chose specific people. They have a tight-knit group of creators that they work with, and they actually support us and they actually care about us. And he comes in my chat, he hangs out with us. For example, on the road trip, like I said, oh, I'm going on a road trip, like I would love to have some Goodies Granola. Brother, he sent me a full box of his granola that we could just chow on while we were driving. So it's like a level of care that they put in. So shout out to Goodies Granola, go check them out. You use code FallenNola to go ahead and get a little percentage off. But it's a really great company. Beyond that, just shout out to all the friends I've made, all the content creators that co-stream with me and give me the opportunity to be able to hop on their stream and be able to talk to them. They're awesome human beings that I can call friends now. So without them, life would not be as fun, I guess. So shout out to the community in general too, because they give me something to look forward to every day.
Nice.
Yeah, it gets boring to not play with anyone, right? So just shout out to the community for giving me the opportunity to meet these people and to have something to look forward to every single day. So yeah, thanks. Cool. And yes, and by the way, you, Mr. 8-Bit, you're cute too, and Steve, thank you for being my friend too.
Oh, I'm blushing over here. So any other save rounds from you guys? Any other things you would like to say?
I don't think I mentioned my mod team, but yes, to the mod team, it would not be nearly as smooth or as easy if we didn't have people helping out in chat, you know, talking to people, banning people that don't need to be there, getting clips of me jumping out of my chair, getting embarrassing clips of falling. It wouldn't be nearly as fun without them. It wouldn't be possible, honestly, without them.
Oh yeah, and shout out to Mustache Mondays. This thing that I've been doing for a while now. Mustache Mondays is a thing that Steve and I do every single Monday, where we either have a community event or we bring in a random streamer as a guest. And we've been doing it for over a year now, and it has been an absolute blast. Started with a different content creator. He had to step away from it, and then at that moment in time, Steve has been getting into his stride. I was like, Steve, let's do this together, because we both have a lot of energy. I feel like we would put on a unique show. Yeah, it's like a show and experience for whichever content creator hops in. It is something that's different and unique to anything that they ever do. Right. And it's that's one of my, like, I'm very proud of being able to build that. And Steve-O has helped me immensely with being able to do that. So yeah, shout out to Mustache Mondays and all the things that we do with them.
I was going
to
say, you guys kind of complement each other pretty well with a tone of voice, also pacing of voice and like tempo. Like, you guys are a pretty good combination just by having this little conversation with you, let alone having a full on other event with a third streamer involved. So I could totally see why that would be super fun and successful, and why you guys fuck with each other, so to speak.
My wife gets very jealous sometimes.
That's how you know you're doing something right.
Yeah, it's basically this type of dynamic, but like, we're just way more energized.
She just look at you, Steve-O, like, we have kids together, you don't talk to me like you talk to Fallen.
She'll literally just call Fallen my boyfriend. Like, that's just what she's like. All right, you're gonna go play with your boyfriend on Monday. Like,
and that's, I was
like,
not, yeah, my boyfriend, that's my work husband.
Because like, I'll call Steve-O and be like, hey bud, like, so what are we doing? And we'll be chatting for like an hour, and she'll be like, hey Steve, we have stuff to do.
The house is burning down
after this game.
But yeah, well, Mr. 8-Bit, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and be able to chat with you. I hope you enjoyed it.
So I would like to take this opportunity to thank you guys for taking the plunge to talk to somebody you barely know, or in some cases don't know at all, to talk for an hour and some change about everything under the sun, from road trip farts all the way to, you know, killing a hooker with the Blue Man Group. So I appreciate you guys taking the ride with me. Other than that, this stream was once again powered by Balls Guerrera. Grab life by the balls. Other than that, go outside and touch and or smoke some grass. Once again, I'm the 8-Bit Nobody. This is episode 68. And yeah, we're fucking done. Peace out.